Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you learn and grow along the way. My special guest today is Stacy Horowitz. Stacy is the founder and president of Shopping for a Change, which was established to create an extended global marketplace for fair trade products by artisans, artisan co-ops, and companies that employ these artisans, predominantly women from economically disadvantaged areas throughout the world. Stacy's extensive background encompasses years in the creative and promotional departments of advertising agencies. Clients included Electronic Arts, Jessica McClintock, and Sun Microsystems, and in the wholesale consumer products industry, as a manufacturer's representative, Olga Lingerie, Birkenstock, and Aveda, to name a few. As Stacy approached age 50, she felt a stronger need than ever to make a difference in the world and wanted to do so on a global scale. She's here to share her story with us today. So Stacy, without any further delay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deirdre. It's great to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Now, you had explained to me in an earlier discussion that you took a trip that changed your life. So I would love it if you could share a little bit about what happened during that trip and why it was monumental.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, as you mentioned earlier, you know, I was approaching age 50, and frankly, I kind of grew up feeling like a single person, you know, just some ordinary person could not make much of a difference in the world. I always thought you had to be a celebrity or a Mother Teresa to, you know, to do something that was groundbreaking and impact people's lives. And we took this trip to the Galapagos Islands in Peru, and it wasn't the first time that I had ever seen poverty, you know, up close and personal, but it really hit me differently on this particular family vacation. I think part of it was, you know, coming to the age that I was at. Also, the last time I had taken a big trip like that was before I had had my son. So suddenly I'm taking this trip as a mother now and viewing things from, you know, fresh eyes, different perspective. And, you know, as we traveled through Peru in particular, I saw a tremendous amount of artistic talent all around me, but also, and the countryside is stunning, and the people are beautiful as well. And what I saw was this poverty, and the people there, especially the women, it's like I didn't see any begging really around anywhere. I mean, they wanted to do something to earn some sort of money, whether it was taking a picture with their child and their baby llama, or, you know, I mean, they would do something to earn, you know, to earn money. And I learned while we were there that there were so many women there, as there are throughout the world, that are often put in the position of being the sole providers for their families. And, you know, whether it's because of, you know, unemployment or a disease or civil uprising, wars, things like that, you know, their partners are no longer there and they're having to raise and support their families themselves. And I really connected with these women while we were there. You know, again, being a mom at the time, my son was in seventh grade. And, you know, I really felt kind of what they were feeling. And when we came back from this amazing vacation, I came back actually very depressed. For about 3 months, I struggled with the feelings that I was having of wanting to somehow do something to help them help themselves. And I didn't really know what that was going to look like. I didn't know at first, you know, was this something that I could even take on? Again, you know, feeling like, oh, I was just one person, but I started to think back on, you know, what's my background in? I also happen to be an artist, so I was really, you know, drawn to their different talents and was looking at things from that perspective, and I kept thinking that there was a way, you know, if there, like when I would look at different products that were being made, sometimes, you know, they were perfect as they were, and other times it was like, wow, if we could just tweak that a little bit, I think it would do really well in a Western market. So I began to try and think about business models and ways to try and work with women, especially, but artisans in general, both in Peru and other parts of the world, where I could help them learn how to create products that were attractive to a Western market and then bring them to market through more of a global marketplace versus, you know, their local markets where they're only seeing, you know, the people who happen to be driving by, you know, that are tourists. And so I spent several months researching different things. I actually packed up and took another trip by myself. About 6 months later, I went back to Peru to...
Oh, you were really drawn to that area and to the effort. That's incredible.
To try and meet up with some of the different artisans who were making some of the products that were really getting my attention, and to explore, you know, how to go about doing something like this. You know, could I actually be on the ground and create products from scratch myself and have these and teach these people how to do it, or would I work with other people who were in those positions? Which it turns out that there are many around the world, which is a whole nother topic. People who are starting to, you know, spend time on the ground and organize these different artisans and help them create these different products. And we partner with them very closely and help bring them to the global market. So that's kind of, you know, from the time that we took that trip, my life was never the same. And fortunately, my husband and my son were right on board with us, or with me, I should say. And they've been, I could never do this without their support.
Oh, it's great to have the family support. So is this how Shopping for a Change took shape, where, you know, you launched the web presence and were able to really help these artisans in these communities?
Yes, my trip was in the beginning of 2009. By the end of 2009, in December, we incorporated... and I had taken my second trip to Peru in July of 2009, and by September 2010, we were live online. And we occasionally do a live event where, you know, we're face-to-face with our customers, but most of the sales that we have are online. And our business model was developed in such a way that I wanted it to be different than whatever everything else that I was seeing out there at the time. You know, we decided to go nonprofit versus for-profit, and we wanted to, it was the peak of the recession when I decided to start all of this. So, you know, that's definitely taking
a
risk right there. It definitely adds to it. And I wanted to make sure that even though we were helping abroad, and that's where, you know, I really wanted to make a big impact, I was also very sensitive to the fact that we had people here struggling in the United States, you know, whether it was the mom and pop shop down the block or it was the nonprofits that were having trouble raising funds. So our business model was developed in a way that it's kind of three-pronged. We're helping the artisans by giving them work and bringing them to a global marketplace, and it's all fair trade. But then in addition to paying them up front, we're actually taking half of our net proceeds and we're putting it into different community improvement projects in different artisan communities that are focused on clean water, healthcare, or education. And then the other part of it is when the customer's shopping on our site, at the end during checkout, they get to direct the other half of the net proceeds to a nonprofit that's here in the United States.
Oh, and that's so wonderful. That does sound different, that you're helping both, you know, in these countries that are poorer and helping the artisans, but also focusing here on the States as well. That, right. You know, that certainly is a great effort. And is it more or less difficult to start a nonprofit
than what, a for-profit?
Yeah,
or
did it
just
take
in general?
More time, or yeah, is it a lengthy process? What's that look like?
I would say it was definitely tricky because it's not a normal nonprofit. Most nonprofits aren't all about selling product. You know, they are about solving problems and creating projects and things like that. So with this whole retail, so to speak, aspect to our business, which is really what, you know, when the IRS is looking at it, they're like, you know, this is a strong retail component. You know, you have to really prove the nonprofit side of the business and help them understand what it is that you're trying to do. So we worked with the top nonprofit law firm that was here in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Excellent.
And spent about 5 months writing our application out.
Yes,
so that
I was going to say, I've heard the application process can be really lengthy.
It is really lengthy, and what our attorneys told us is that, you know, you want to be so thorough in such a way that you don't throw up any red flags, because once the IRS has an attitude about, you know, and they flagged something, it's hard to get them to change their minds. So it was worth spending the extra time, and in this case, some extra money, to prepare it correctly, because once the application was turned in, it flew right through.
Oh, that's fantastic. And just what do you think throughout that whole process, what was the most gratifying part of starting your business and being an entrepreneur?
Oh, boy. That's a tough question.
It's a big question.
It is a big question. It's really
three
loaded.
Words.
What's the most gratifying? I think being able to stop, instead of always looking, for me, I'm so caught up in the day-to-day and always looking like, what's the next thing that I need to do, that I forget sometimes to stop and take a look at all that we've accomplished in the first 5 years of our business. And, you know, we've completed 4 projects, you know, in different parts of the world. We're working on our 5th one right now, which is going to be supplying 2,500 pairs of eyeglasses around the world to different artisans. And you know, and the work that we've done and the customer response and all of that, it's all been really gratifying. But it's really hard to remember sometimes to look back at where you've come from
and to see all that you've done. So true. I'm talking
exactly.
with my special guest, Stacy Horowitz, founder and president of Shopping for Change. In the next segment, Stacy will share her advice to other entrepreneurs who have a passion and want to start a business or take their business to the next level.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Stacy Horowitz and I were just chatting about her organization, Shopping for a Change, and helping women artisans in other countries. So, Stacy, you know, you spoke about all of the women and what you saw when you were in Peru. You mentioned identifying with them. What was it the most that you felt? Was it because you were a mom, or just because you saw their struggles or their need for work? What do you think that was?
Oh, boy. I think, you know, one thing that really, it was like this epiphany, my aha moment was realizing that I could have been any one of those women, that I just happened to have been born where I am in the United States, and how you know, whether it's luck or the universe, whatever it is that, you know, puts you where you are versus where somebody else is in their shoes, it was like, oh my God, you know, that could have been me, that could have been my family, you know, and I just, I don't know, in my gut, I just really related to what these people were going through and thinking, oh God, you know, I'm so fortunate. I need to think twice, you know, when I go and just think nothing of spending my $3 for my latte or something like that, where $3 makes a huge impact, you know, in so many parts of the world. And I mean, I had to try and find a balance between wanting to be, you know, trying to be productive with my train of thought versus sending myself on a guilt trip because I had it better, you know, and finding a way to be productive with what I was feeling and be able to do something that could make a difference in other people's lives and get people on board with me to want to make that happen.
Well, clearly you have been very productive and a wonderful effort at that. How are you spreading the word about Shopping for Change? Are you using more traditional marketing practices? Are you looking at social media? What's been working the best for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to be really honest when it comes to social media, and coming from an advertising and marketing background, but many, many years ago in my training, social media is an unusual animal for me to, I have a hard time wrapping my head around parts of it. And it's not something that I do a lot of by myself. And wearing as many hats as I do in the business, I have to try and find other people to help me with different areas. And one of them is social media. So our social media has kind of, it comes in waves, but we are actually starting to get more and more focused on it. I'm working with an agency right now that for a year worked with us pro bono, and now we're in a position where we can actually pay them a little bit each month. And but they treat us like any other, clients, which is really great. And we're about to launch, hopefully later today, actually, an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign, and there'll be a strong social media component to that. We're actually putting some money into advertising on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest, and we'll see, you know, we'll see where it goes. So
that's excellent. I'm so happy to hear about your Indiegogo campaign, and I will definitely check it out. I love that you said that social media is an unusual animal, which is not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. And, you know, with your agency behind you, I'm sure you're going to grow through social, because it is especially important. With this type of cause, you just look at millennials today and what they're doing through social media and how they're so cause related that it's a nice group to tap into. And apparently they have a lot of purchasing power, so I hear, or they're being funded through their parents. So I'm so glad that you are getting the word out. And as far as other entrepreneurs and their dreams, what advice would you give to them if, you know, they wanted to start a business or they have a business but they just feel like they could take it to the new level? What would you say to inspire them?
Well, as the years have gone on, I've learned about myself that I'm not a sit on the fence kind of gal. If I don't like something, I think it's, you know, you need to take action instead of complain about it. And so, you know, I don't know. I started taking electric bass lessons when I was 45 because I was finally like, you know, if not now, when? You know, I mean, I'm not getting
exactly
that younger. So I think, you know, I try to kind of live day to day this now by that whole, you know, if now, not now, when? And, you know, you want to take educated, calculated risks, but you can't be afraid of taking them. And you know, it definitely, you know, helps, of course, to have a good support system in place and to know that, you know, you have ways to manage what, you know, what comes down the road, whether it's financially or emotionally. But I've started a few things in the past, and I think as far as being an entrepreneur, you know, it definitely takes discipline. And
that's a big one.
It's a big one, and I think I'm way harder on myself than probably anyone else would ever be. And I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I have to remind myself to, you know, talk to my board at times and say, is this, you know, this is what I'm thinking you're expecting of me. Is it, you know, am I correct in that? And they're like, no. So, you know,
it's so good that you clarified.
Yeah, you know, oh, wow, I just took a huge weight off my shoulders.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't know, I guess that, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the discipline is so important. And also, your advice is, I heard it loud and clear, you can't sit on the fence. You have to take action and get it done. What about your network? Are you constantly networking? Are you out and about? You know, how important is networking?
My networking happens to take place through the internet a lot. I unfortunately have not made it a point of getting out and being part of a lot of networking groups, which is something that I have on my agenda for this next year. But, you know, in many ways, I'm a one woman show with a support system of volunteers and board members. And so I'm always, you know, having to get things done. And sometimes it just doesn't free me up enough to get out someplace and take advantage of a networking event. But I do a lot of webinars and networking with other people through, you know, the internet and building my networks that way as best I can.
That's great. And do you ever try to just find time for yourself? So with such a busy lifestyle, the board, the volunteers who need to be coordinating, everything that you're doing, what do you do when you just want to try to sit back and relax?
Well, I have gotten a lot better about that in the last couple of years. The first few years, I was definitely living and breathing the business 24/7. However,
it isn't exactly healthy.
No, it's definitely not healthy. And, I saw it take a toll on me, and
right.
I was starting to really burn out. And I realized that, you know, I needed to definitely step back. I mean, my reading that I would do whenever I had, you know, a few moments, whether I'm eating lunch or, you know, getting ready or whatever, would be always, you know, business related. I was reading, you know, Fast Company and Inc. magazine and so forth. And
so like me.
And I realized that, you know, I can't do this. I need to be able to turn my mind off. So I read every day, but, you know, or before bed, but it is purely for pleasure now. And I go to my exercise class 3 days a week, and I walk my dogs for an hour every morning, you know. And so I've really learned how to try and put a lot more balance back in my life. I'm not always perfect, and this gets to be a really tough time of the year with Christmas. It's our busiest season. So, you know, I still need to try and make sure, you know, I don't miss my workouts and that sort of thing. But I will be putting in some long hours.
Well, keep a conscious effort to be good to yourself and keep up that reading and the dog walking too. I think animals are such a source of relaxation and pleasure. So tell us about your greatest accomplishment, and then maybe, if you don't mind sharing, a really tough challenge that you got over, a hurdle.
Oh boy. Do they need to be related to what I'm doing now or anything
nope,
in my life or
anything?
Okay. Well, greatest accomplishment I think is raising my son, of course. Who's now in college. Yay.
Yay.
But
you're an empty nester.
Yes, I am. But
and you're smiling.
I am.
You.
He calls us every day.
You know what? That's good.
Yeah,
nice
just checks in, says hi. I would, you know, definitely this business is my other, you know, my other baby. It's been a huge accomplishment. And, you know, honestly, every year I still look at it and go, you know, do we keep going? You know, how's it going? And reevaluate things from year to year. But, you know, it just keeps getting better. So I think that it's been a great accomplishment. My toughest thing, honestly, when I was in my 20s, I got taken professionally by a con man and had to file bankruptcy, and emotionally it was just devastating. So, you know, learning to the bright side of that was I totally learned out of that to trust my instincts. Because my instincts were telling me one thing and my head and my heart were telling me something else. And out of that experience, I really learned to trust my instincts and my, you know, my sense of my gut. And it's made a huge difference in the rest of my life. Well, so there's always the good side to the downsides.
Oh, that is, I'm so glad you said that. And I think being in your 20s, even though, you know, certainly we're voting when we're 18, but as soon as you're 21, it's almost like you're an adult. But I find that those are sensitive years. Those are still really tender years where you're learning and growing. And, you know, sometimes we are a little too trusting, but, you know, having something like that happen to you and to come out of that and to do what you're doing now is truly an amazing transformation and shows incredible strength. So that sounds like a really tough challenge. And I'm glad that you just plowed through it and did what you did.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And are you, if you could think of three characteristics, you know, based on everything that you've done and seen and how you change, if you were going to give advice to your entrepreneurial friends, what are three characteristics that you really need to succeed that they have to, if they don't have it, they should work on, that's really helped you? And I know one, you mentioned the discipline.
Yeah, that's huge. And especially since I still work out of my home. What I get out of working out of my house, but you have to be disciplined because, you know, the laundry room's still there and, you know, things need cleaning or whatever. So,
I can relate to that. I have a home office, kitchen, refrigerator, laundry room. Exactly.
Yeah. Discipline. So, I mean, I try to treat every day as if I was going into an office. So I get up at a certain time and, you know, I go out and I take my dogs out and I come back and I shower and then I sit down and I start doing my work. And I think, you know, for me that's huge because I know that it's really hard for some people to work at home. And I think if you think of it as if you're going to an office and there's other people that you need to answer to, then that's very helpful. Passion and, remembering to, you know, that there's always going to be bumps in the road and sometimes it's more of a pothole, but, you know, to be able to be resilient enough to learn from the experience and figure out, you know, what you can be doing differently to overcome and, or sidestep, you know, the challenges that you're having. I mean, I'm always facing different challenges that I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to go about something. And I guess my last thing would be to not be afraid to ask for help. Whether, you know, I went into this knowing that I wasn't going to know everything that I needed to know to do all the different facets of this business. And so whether it's, you know, asking for help in learning how to do, you know, the accounting part of it or the social media part of it, or even like when we're building our website and we are, you know, wanting to add different apps to the back end of it, like my website's built this time around, because I've built it three times now, is built on Shopify, and there's all these wonderful apps that can do different things on the back end.
And, you know, but they all, a lot of them cost money, and it's like, okay, yeah, but we're running really lean here, and I don't take a salary, and, you know, right. How am I going to do all of this? And I've gotten to where I actually, you know, I tell the organizations that built the apps, you know, who we are and what we do, and that we're a nonprofit, and would they be willing to, you know, donate the app to us? And most cases, they either donate it or they give it to us at a, you know, significant discount. And in exchange for the donation ones, we have, you know, we have a page of our in-kind partners, you know, where we put links up to their sites and we acknowledge them for what they're doing for us. And
fantastic.
You know, often they're so happy to help.
Oh, it's great. And asking for help, discipline, passion, being resilient, all really, really good characteristics and advice. Last question, Stacey, where can my listeners find out more about you and Shopping for a Change?
Okay, well, our website is shoppingforachange.org. If you happen to type in .com, you'll still get to us, but you can't forget the A in there, Shopping for a Change. And then we are on Facebook, also just, you know, / Shopping for a Change. Twitter, it's actually Shop for a Change. And then there's Pinterest and Instagram, which, you know, if you actually just go to our website in the bottom of the homepage, you can get a link to any one of our social media that we're on.
And we'll be looking for your Indiegogo campaign as well.
Oh, thank you.
Stacey, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your journey to make a difference on a global scale. I think what you're doing for women artisans and global communities is absolutely inspiring.
Thank you, Deirdre. It's been my pleasure.
Well, thank you. And I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning in to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. And until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.